Welcome back to the Metamoon podcast. This week I have another interview for you with my friend Dana, known better on social media as Acro Sprout. We talked about van life and minimalism and relationship tips and psychedelics and faith, and it was such a great conversation. She is a beautiful and kind soul, and I hope you all enjoy listening to her as much as I did. Here we go. I am here with Sprout. Also, her real name is Dana, so if I say Dana, don't be confused. But more commonly known on the internet as Sprout. So, yeah, in case you missed our Plato explanation video we just shot, you should check that out. But if you missed it, Dana, or Sprout, is an acro teacher. She lives in a van with her partner Tarzan, and they have been traveling around and teaching people yoga and just eating healthy and moving their bodies, I think, as you put it when I saw you the other day. So yeah, she's gonna talk to us a little bit about living minimally and what it's like living in van life. If you have any questions about that or have thought about van life, then this will help you kind of get an idea of what that is
definitely
like.
Definitely.
So yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you here.
It's so good to spend time with you.
Yeah, it's been so fun. I feel like most of the time we hang out, we're like creating something. But that's kind of how it is in LA when you everybody's hustling and making stuff.
Totally.
It's like there's like not enough time, and it's too hard to get around to not make stuff if you're gonna hang out with people.
But also I think everybody that lives in LA just wants to create, and it's like this energy, you know.
Yes, it is, for sure. I feel like I'm always, it's either that or exercising, like I'm like, let's do a yoga class or let's make something. So cool. So I'm gonna ask you just some quick rapid fire questions to just get going in it and give everybody a little bit of an idea of who you are, and then we'll kind of dive deeper as we go. So, are you ready? Here we go. Okay. So first, when people think of you, what is a word that they think of?
This question is so hard. Because it's like, how do you, I mean, the lens that you want to portray. But I would say, I would say kind. I think that's just like an overall just like good word.
That's a nice thing for people to think of. I hope people think I'm kind.
That's what I hope people think, that I'm kind.
That's good. What's one thing that people don't know about you?
I was also thinking about this one, because I've been wanting to write about it more, but actually when I was younger, I actually lived in a closet for a little while, like Harry Potter status.
Of course you did. That's like perfect.
Tiny
like younger than how old?
I was 10, 9 or 10.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like it was your actual bedroom or you just...
Yeah, it was my bedroom, and I like made it like, it was a walk-in closet, it was a big one. So I had a little mattress pad and I had my little things.
And this was your choice, like, or your parents?
My choice.
Your choice. Yeah, you have like another room that you
Yeah, I was living in the room, and my brother moved back into the house. And I was like, you can have the room and I'll just take the closet.
Oh my God.
And my parents were like, really? Okay, like
that's awesome. I would always hang out in tiny spaces when I was little. Like I always hung out in the dryer or cabinets. My mom would be like, "Where's
Emily?" Find you.
And then I'd be like with my Barbies in the dryer. Like I'm just like I loved tiny spaces.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But I'd always be like making forts, and then I would just sleep in the fort for like weeks.
Forts. That's where it's at.
Yeah, I made some bomb forts in my childhood. That's awesome. What's something people usually assume about you that's wrong?
Ooh, I don't know.
Like, do you ever people any think, oh, she's like so this way?
I think people assume that I'm more mellow than I actually am. Like, when you actually get to know me, I'm like, let's go like drift a car or like jump off of a bridge. Like, I don't know. I feel like people assume that I'm like more mellow
always
and yoga person.
Yeah. I think people think that about me too, because I'm always... I exude a very chill vibe, but in my head it's like crazy.
Yeah, you're like, let's go.
So I'm like, the reason I'm always doing yoga and meditating is because I'm crazy inside. It's not because I'm just so zen. It's because I need it or I'll die. So I can totally relate to that. What's the best book you've read in this past year?
Harry Potter.
Is this the first time Harry Potter or
this
reread?
Is the first time I've read Harry Potter.
Really? Do you read all of them or just
I read one? All of them in like 5 months, like boom, like
just while you were back. Traveling or
yeah while okay. I was traveling. It was fantastic.
That's I'm always jealous of people who are first time Harry Potter experiencers, because I'm like, I'll never experience Harry Potter for the first time ever again.
Totally.
I've reread them so many times.
I can.
So that's magical.
It was a totally different experience reading them as an adult.
Yeah. Did you, cool. have you, did you, you saw the movies before or you?
No. So I saw the movies all when I was younger, but then I read all the books. And then after I finished a book, then I would watch a movie and read a book, finish. And then, and I was like, that's not the right, that's not how they read it in the book.
Yeah.
I was like, total nerd, but it was great.
Yes.
Loved it.
That's so good. I love that you did that. What was the favorite one?
Four.
Yeah. Number four. I like four too. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Before it got all like too dark and crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I love the last one just because it's the last one and the end of a long story is always so satisfying, but I think four is probably still my favorite. Mm-hmm. Have you binged any shows recently?
Into shows like music shows,
like TV shows, like did you binge do any binge watching?
No, so I actually don't really watch TV. I feel like whenever I watch TV, I'm like, I love my life so much, I'd rather just like be in my life and do that.
That's
but music awesome. Shows I just saw Wild Child.
I
don't know if you know them, but they're like ukulele like band and it's a beautiful voice and it's amazing.
Is what has been one of the most impactful moments of your life so far?
Doing mushrooms.
Yes. That's a big one.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, go for it. Totally.
I mean, changed my whole life. I mean, I was, well, we used to go to the same church, which is like, that's where we know each other from.
Yeah.
And when I left that bubble, I just felt like I needed to get out of the bubble. I was like, religion isn't vibing with me anymore. I feel like I need to do something different. I felt like I was really very judgmental towards everyone that I met, and if they didn't have the same religion as I did, I was like, oh, I you know, I can't be friends with them, or I can't date them, or whatever it may be. It just felt so restrictive. And then
but
I,
you're supposed to be nice on the outside and love, but then inside you have all these judgments.
And it's like, oh, but they don't believe in Jesus, so like I can't really connect with them. You know, it was this weird, super weird. So anyway, I moved away from that. I just left that. I was like hard cut off. Like I moved to Hawaii and I met some really cool group of people there. And he actually was a psychologist who used plant medicine as part of his therapy sessions. And he actually gifted me 3 sessions with him. And it was like so special. I mean, it wasn't in a party setting. It wasn't like this crazy. It was like very meditative, very ceremonial like, and we took mushrooms with it.
Did he ask you questions? You talked while you're in it. Did you kind of go back and forth between being in your own self and then talking,
I felt like,
or what was
super
the...
in my body?
Yeah,
and just like very, it made my,
because that's how long was the session?
Mind. I mean, it would go on hours.
Yeah,
it would go on hours. We would do it at night because it just, there wasn't interruptions, and you know, it's like, it was just the energy there. Like, there was no fear of, like, anything leaving or whatever. But I literally saw, like, a black hole of, like, vastness between me and the person that I was doing the psychology session with whenever we started talking about religion. And I realized that he didn't have the same beliefs as me. I felt this, like, black hole just, like, forming between us. And I was like, I don't like this. This feels like that's the energy that I feel when I'm, you know, have those judgments towards someone. And I just right then I was like, this isn't for me, I need to move on.
So before you had that, where you were already starting to kind of before you had the session, and
before
then
I had
that
the
just kind of clarified it for you.
Exactly
Wow.
Yeah, but I was having a really hard time because I'm like, oh, this is the truth and this is what I've been spent so much of my life and energy towards and belief systems towards. It was like a total shift.
After that, was there sort of a process of continuing to reconcile that with your life, or how was it just kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I really just kind of left everything behind, you know, like with no judgment towards the people that I used to go to church with at all, like still all love.
Yeah.
And like, but I just didn't hang out with them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I love you, but like, new life. Like, I'm moving into this new chapter, this new book. It's not even a chapter, like a new series.
A whole new thing. New dimension.
And here so it just, like, I don't know.
Because I know I have a lot of friends who have gone through very similar things, and I myself, like, going through my process with that. And I think a lot of people, it can take them years and years of undoing every little thing. But what about this? Because, you know, when you have a whole construct of how you see the world, things just kind of come up here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so I let go of this thing, but what about this? And mm-hmm. how does this? Did you feel like you had to then go through that process, or mm-hmm. it all kind of happened in that moment?
No, for
you?
I mean, it definitely goes. I mean, the thought patterns that you accept when you go to church are very different from societal living.
Yeah.
So it's just, it did. I mean, I'm still going through it. You know, like, it's still a process of just understanding myself and understanding why I still feel guilt and shame with certain things, and letting go of that still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, like, all part of it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, guilt and shame.
Right?
I know, too. Those go deep.
I know. It's like, how much time do we have?
And the same things come up, I feel like, for me at least. I'm like, am I done with this already?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
how
right?
is this still happening? Yeah. How am I still falling into this pattern? But mm-hmm. I've been learning so much. I think that's why I became so fascinated with neuroscience and just the way that the brain functions. Mm. It helped me have so much grace for myself, because I see how these patterns are actually ingrained in our brain and our perception. The entire way we view mm-hmm. this experience is built through these things that we're taught. And when you spend so much of your life being taught to view things such a specific way,
mm-hmm.
it's you have to kind of go through that and reteach yourself new patterns, totally. Which is crazy. But the brain
it's crazy that we can choose to do that.
Yeah,
that our brains have these patterns and we're like, wait, no, I want that to change. And it's like, what? Like, you're like,
so nuts. I was just having a conversation last night about how talking about the brain, and my friend who I was talking to goes, you're a brain talking about itself right now. And I was like, I guess I am. That's so weird.
That is so weird.
Like, the brain talking about its own functions, but it's aware that it has the functions. Yeah. It's so crazy. Like, I guess that's kind of the root of meditation is mm-hmm. who is it that's watching the thoughts? Who is it that is listening to the thoughts? What is that? Mm-hmm. How do we be there and not be in the manic? But love it. I love when the rapid fire questions get into the depth
deep.
Already. Yeah. I'm like, I know it's going to be a good one if we're like already going there. But mushrooms, the second mushrooms get brought up, we could go for hours just mm-hmm. on that, which I will. I do want to talk. I would love to talk to somebody like the person who led your session and mm-hmm. just hear about from their perspective how they do that, because it's such a sensitive space for somebody to be in.
It is, and it shouldn't be taken lightly.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm not. Since I did that once, it's not like I'm like, yeah, mushrooms all the time. You know, it's like, no, that's like a very totally. Sacred place. And mm-hmm. I went in and I learned a lot, and I took it back to my sober.
Yeah. Because people can definitely become addicted to the altered state of consciousness want to just kind of live there, or not know how to do it, work on themselves in a different way.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that. You see that in LA.
A lot. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Just always my apprehension about it. I'm like, oh, I want to. I felt like a cop out. Like, mm-hmm. I want to work on myself authentically in reality, whatever that means.
Yep.
But that was always my apprehension to it. But now I guess I heard that they're moving another step closer to legalizing mushroom psilocybin mm-hmm. in therapeutic sessions in California. Yeah. So we'll probably
for
start
PTSD
more of that.
And just trauma, just helping with trauma and everything. It just unlocks a lot for people.
Yeah, definitely. But in a safe space. For sure. Okay, what was I gonna ask next? Oh yeah, what's something you learned this week? Anything you can think of?
Well, I got a ukulele this week.
Yeah.
So that's a new
learning that.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Learning instruments is good for the brain.
Everything, yeah.
And the heart.
My mom always says that when she put me in piano lessons when I was younger, that it made me smarter.
Yeah.
I started making straight A's after that. Before I was
played the baby Einstein classical music to the babies.
Exactly.
There's something to it for sure.
It works.
I want to be learning piano more again.
Piano is so good.
I like don't know how to play it, but I'm trying to. I learned today that figs, you might know this, about the wasps.
No.
Have you heard this? This is weird.
This is my new thing.
Figs is, look this up. Everybody look this up. It's because I just read an article about it, but I'm not going to know all the science as I say it because I literally learned it this morning. But I guess figs are, they have to have a fig wasp, which is this really tiny wasp, to pollinate it. Because a fig is not actually a fruit. It's an inverted flower.
Whoa.
So it needs to be pollinated on the inside for the fruit, what we would call the fruit part of it, to grow. It's mm-hmm. actually multiple fruits in a fruit. But it has to have this wasp that comes in. So the fig is actually the male, and then the wasp is the female, and then they lay eggs in the male figs. But then if they end up in a female fig, then they can't get back out, and then the wasp will die inside the fig, and then the fig releases an enzyme that breaks down the wasp. So this is the freaky
crazy
part. When you're eating a fig,
you're eating
a wasp. That's, there's like almost always a dead wasp inside your fig.
Protein.
But it's very small, and it's been dissolved. But I guess some vegans will not eat figs, because like the hardcore ones, because
technically
there's death inside of it.
Yeah.
How weird is that? Anyways, this is totally random. I just thought that was really interesting today. Okay, so last rapid fire question, then we'll go into other things. But if I told you right now that the whole world was listening to you and you could tell them one thing, what would you tell them?
Oh my gosh. How is this a rapid fire question? It's like, what did you eat this morning? No, it's like, what is the meaning of life?
This is the big question.
I mean, it sounds so simple, but I think that this has taken me years to really learn and know that your thoughts can change your life. Like the way that you think about things change how you view everything.
Yeah.
And it can change your whole career, your love, your family, your friends, literally everything.
It's so true.
It's like you,
so good.
I mean, if you don't think about what you're thinking about, then where are you going, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's, I mean, it's simple, but it's deep. It's one of those simple truths that you can explore for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think that's why meditation is so effective, because it's just the practice of becoming aware of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Because how do you change your thoughts if you don't know what they are?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised how many times I still am like, what, like not aware of the thoughts that are happening, and I'm listening to them without being aware that I'm listening to mm-hmm. them. It's crazy.
And like,
Stefano always asks me when I'm upset. He's like, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just upset.
But then I'll stop and be like, I'm fuming on this thing in my mind.
Not a helpful thought to have. It's like, it's a good practice. It's a hard question, but it's such a good one, because
it's like your ethos.
You boil down to what.
Mm-hmm.
It's always some good truth there. Okay, so I want you to tell us the story of you. Because I think that, in essence, we all are stories. That's what we are. Might be an oversimplification, but in this existence, we all are just a story being lived out. So if you were to sum up in kind of the short, abridged version of the story of Dana or the story of Sprout, tell us the story. You can tell it in the third person if you want, or first person, however you want. But as if we were reading a children's book. What's your story?
Oh, that's cute.
The highlights. The highlight reel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Sprout grew up in Texas, which didn't really fit her.
What part of Texas?
College Station, Texas. The middle of Texas. Very conservative and, like, very settling sort of town. And I was just like, I'm moving to L.A. Like, let's get out of here. So I moved to L.A. to do fashion school, actually. Which I think that's, a lot of people don't know that about me, that I went to fashion design school. And I studied fashion design, and I got a degree in fashion design. So I was sewing and drawing and creating all the time, and it felt really good. And then once I got out of school, it was just like, wasn't creative. It was very like, everyone's copying everyone, and the industry just feels like soul sucking. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, what's the, like, complete opposite of this? Farming. And I was like, I'm just going to go work on a farm for a little while. Like, totally changed everything. And I learned about organic food and what I was actually eating. And that's when I got into more intuitive eating. And then that's when I moved into a van. I found a van up in Portland and moved into it just to, as a way to save money for rent and also just to be more mobile and like simplistic living, minimalist living, just and different way of living life, you know, not like, oh, I have to get an apartment. Oh, I have to get a job. Oh, I have to do this. So it's like, no, I don't have to do any of those things. What can I do? and then basically moved back to LA, and then I met my partner that I'm with now and learned acro yoga. Now we teach it and live in a van together, and it's just like the best. I mean, I don't know how elaborate I want to go into everything.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's like a great synopsis. Yeah, I'm just checking this every now and then, making sure we're still going. Okay, yeah,
check, check.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like when, because I knew you when you were before you moved and after you moved, and I feel like you became an acro goddess in like a second. It was all of a sudden I was like, dang, Dana is like just incredible at this. How did you get so good so fast?
Well, my partner had been doing it for 6 years at the point that I met him. And he was already teaching people, so when I met him, he's just like the kind of person that's like, we'll put anybody in an acro pose. It doesn't matter if you're 300 pounds. He'd be like, let's get an acro pose. And like, that's what I love about him. And when we met, that's how we met. And he was like, yeah, sure, let me put you through an acro flow. And he put me through an entire flow. And I came down and there was a group of people like around like clapping. They're like, wow, that was so good. Like, how long have you been performing together? And I was like, that was my first time doing. Like, he's just such an amazing bass.
Yeah, it helps.
It helps so much. Sure. And then he just shed all his knowledge on me, and we went to workshops and we just did acro all the time. And it was, you know, that was a lifestyle choice. At that point, I decided I'm going to live in a van and I'm going to live rent free and I'm going to live very minimal. So I had a lot of time to spend on that, which is really beautiful.
That's so nice. It's funny how much we think that the things we have to do, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this. And I had a friend who, she doesn't use those words have to, and at first I was like, oh, that's silly, it's just words. But it's reminded me how much I say that, and we can always look at the root of that. Why do I think I have to do this? What can I change? And even just, I have to work this job, I have to make all this money, you know, well, what could you do to change that? And I think that's so cool that you found a way to live your life without feeling trapped into that bubble, especially living in LA, because everything's so expensive here. It makes you feel like you have to be working all the time, just to live, just to
afford your place and your food, and like, forget social things. Like, when are you gonna do that? I don't know. Yeah.
And that's a huge life change, because we spend a lot of time like trying to make money, thinking about money, and working jobs we don't want to do. And so if you eliminate that and lower your costs instead,
you have so much more space to say, hey, I don't really want to do that thing. Yeah. Like, what do I want to do? And then slowly it starts to make you money because you love it and people are attracted to that and you're attracted to this, and it's just bringing it all in.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's like, what was the point where you, was there even any point where you felt like, did you have a job? How do I even say this? What I'm asking. Was there any point that you didn't have any job, or you weren't making any money, or were you always making a little bit?
Yeah.
Was that freaky to you after being so used to the normal way of being?
Yes, it took me a long time to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Very long time. Years of just being like, just breathe. Like, money, it flows in and out. It's like water, you know? Like, it comes in, it comes out. Like, there's money coming. And then again, it goes back to your thoughts. Like, what are you thinking? If you're sitting here thinking like, oh, I'm not going to make any money, I'm going to go broke about it, it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So, but if you're saying like, okay, just take a breath, like, money will come in. And when it comes, like, great. Or if it's not there, somebody's going to support me. Like, I'm supported.
Yeah.
So, and that's like slowly the shift that I've been making, and it's just working really well for me. And it's becoming like, money is not becoming a stressful thing anymore.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a ton of money, it's like, it comes in waves, and it's like, oh, great, you know, and then you still live minimal lifestyle, and then it's sort of start saving and
eliminates the stress,
paying off my debt. That was the first thing I did, like, right after I quit. Actually, right after I quit my job, I was very irresponsible and put everything on a credit card and traveled to Europe on a credit card and was just like, and then bought a van and then had all these renovations. And it was silly. Mm-hmm. But I got myself into some debt. So I decided, like, all right, that's number one, I'm paying that off. And now it just feels even better to just sort of, really minimal living.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a lot. And living in the van has really taught me that you don't need a lot.
Uh-huh.
You can live with so, so little.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Do you feel like, how gradual do you think that mindset shift was before you stopped being so worried?
What do you mean?
Like, after making that switch from, you know, paying rent and working all these jobs to moving into the van and having a minimal life, how long did it take you to
it probably to where took it started me about 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. Yeah.
Those are some deep, like we were talking about before, like deep patterns.
Yeah. And it took me multiple patterns to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'd be in it and be like, oh, I got to get a job. And then I got a job at like working at a tonic bar that I hated and had to work until like midnight. And it just was like I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I really don't enjoy this. And then finally leave that and then find another job and leave that. It's like I went through a lot of patterns like that to where it's like, okay, what do I want to do to make money? Like, what actually makes me happy?
That's so good. Yeah, I mean, now you have such a peace about you that a lot of people don't have. Even just like looking in your eyes, you always have this steadiness that is, you can tell comes from working through that a lot and a lot of letting go. Mm-hmm. People don't have that when they're attached to all these things. So
people always look at someone that's very calm and happy and meditative and they're like, you're just so lucky, you just, that's your life, you know. And then I used to be this way too. I'd be like, well, you haven't had any hard things, I'm just judging them, you know. And but they have worked through their stuff, you know. Like, it takes time, it takes so much effort and energy to work through your shit so you can be that way.
Totally.
You know, so it's like whatever you see on the outside, like, you know, if you want somebody's lifestyle, you also want everything else that's happened to them in their life. So
it's true, because that all comes from an internal place, and we all struggle with the same things internally and we all have to face them in one way or another, and whatever happens externally comes from that.
Exactly.
So it's not usually people that I know have who have had this easy life are not like that. They have even worse internal issues.
It could be worse. Totally. Yeah.
So usually it's the people who have had the most hardships that it find forces them to work on themselves and observe that and learn to let go. And then their seasons. That's why older people who have lived a lot of life and gone through a lot of things, you know, there's this wisdom. People talk about the like sparkle in your eye of wisdom that just comes with time.
Yeah.
That's part of it. It's
just time.
Yeah. Letting go a lot.
So. A lot of meditating.
So I want to talk more about van life specifically.
Yeah.
Kind of dig into that. Yeah. So there's so many things that I want to touch on in this, but I feel like a good place to start is when you first started living in a van, did you do a lot of research, or how did you figure out how to do it? You just kind of went for it and figured it out as you went?
That's my personality. I just was like, let's do it, and like found a van on Craigslist. I took it to a mechanic to get them checked out, but I was like, sure, whatever, let's get it, like, let's do it, you know. I had no mechanical experience and it went really bad. So I will say, if you're looking for a van, like, do your research and make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. If you want an old vehicle, like old van again that we live in, you need to have a friend that's a mechanic or know someone that can help you out with that, because the expenses do get pretty high.
Yeah. And you want to make sure you buy something that's, you know, reliable or
You just, you know, the parts aren't crazy expensive if you need to replace something. So, but nowadays, I don't think when I was looking, there were a ton of resources to be like, this is how you build the van out. But now you can look on YouTube and Pinterest and it's like
there's like, all this stuff. Seems like everywhere. Van life kind of exploded.
It did, yeah, really fast. Which is fun. Like, I think everyone's sort of craving the housing market is just fucking ridiculous right now. It's like everybody's like, okay, how do I live happily without having to like work 80 hours a week?
Totally.
Which I love. I'm like, people are making the shift into alternative living.
Do you run into a lot of issues with legality of sleeping? Because I know there's some law issues of sleeping in a car.
You do run into issues, but it's really simple to solve. I mean, like, we've had cops come up to our car before and say, hey, you know, give us your ID. Like, what are you guys doing here? And then we just start chatting with them and they see that we're not like crazy homeless bum people that, you know, would, you know, that are, you know, littering and their stuff is everywhere. It's like that. That's when it starts to get a little annoying. So we just, they're like, oh yeah, like, sorry, you know, you can't, you guys can't sleep here. We got some complaints, like, but you can move over here. You know, like, we're like, where do we camp? You know, like, we ask the cops and they're like, oh yeah, there's this place over here.
Okay. So, usually they're pretty helpful.
Yeah. They're really helpful. And it's just like, as long as you're nice back and you're not like giving them this off-putting attitude, you know?
So I imagine some places are probably, it's more common than others, so they would be more use, like around here I feel like I see a van every street. So that's probably more normal. When you were traveling, were there any places where people are like, whoa, what is this, like, curious about what was happening?
We traveled through, so we just finished a road trip, a 9-month road trip across North America, like up into Canada, 20,000 miles, and we drove straight through, like, you know, middle America, like Midwest area, where people are like, California, you know, like, you drove a long way. And they would, and it, but it's always good, positive interactions. People like come and they're like, this is so cool, like, I wish I could do this, like, I just want to take off. And it's, I think it's inspiring for a lot of people to see that.
I mean, a lot of people I think could relate to longing for, you know, just pack up and leave, and you know, it's almost like the American dream, so to speak.
It is,
to
just becoming get out there. I love
and
it
explore and, you know, get rid of everything in adventure. So that's so cool. Was there anything that you weren't expecting or didn't realize, and then you, once you moved into your van, you realized it was a lot harder than you thought it was going to be? Any certain aspects of that lifestyle?
I think we were talking about this before we started the recording, but just having your quiet space. Like, we'll be no matter where we're parked. It's funny, even the times that I really want my space, the time I find people coming up to the van randomly. They're like, hey, this is so cool. And they'll peek their head in. And I'm like, oh, can you just leave? Like, I just want some space. Like, that was pretty challenging. And it's loud. And you just want, like, you want good food. You want your, like, favorite smoothie. Or you want your favorite grocery store. Or you want your favorite yoga studio. And when you don't have those things in the road, it gets a little hard, always having to search and always having to find the thing, and then you go and it's not what you're wanting, and then that's probably the most challenging thing.
That was, I can relate to that. I've done some touring, and I did a bus tour a couple years ago that was 3 months long. I was living on a bus with a bunch of dudes. So it was, I had a, I remember moments like that where you're in the middle of nowhere. All there is McDonald's and Taco Bell. And you're like, I don't want, I just want to shower. And like,
And we, you have a quiet place to sleep.
And baths. I'm a big bath person. And all the hotels, we would get shower hotels, but by the time all those dudes took a shower in there in this hotel,
you don't want to take a
bath. Last thing I want to do is take a bath in this hotel bathtub with that's like full of everybody's hair now. I'm like, ew. So it was rough. That there was a few times where we got an Airbnb or something with a nice enough bathtub. And I actually traveled with a little bottle of like apple cider vinegar and hydrogen peroxide and some essential oils that I would spray baths down with.
So that's a life hack right there.
It's a big travel hack, because bathtubs, you know, you want to feel clean in it. And that just helps you kind of feel, okay, I disinfected this. It's totally, you know, if it's not your own bathtub, but that's something smart. I did. But I remember the thoughts of what I wouldn't give for just some space of my own right now, and like a kitchen.
Yeah, people don't realize that hot water is a luxury. You know, like, people just assume that it's, oh, that's just life, well, whatever, it's my normal. But when I get to take a hot shower, I'm like dancing. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I love it.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, if you travel outside of this country, especially too, mm-hmm. I remember being in, I did a Vipassana retreat in Thailand, and there definitely was not hot water there, and mm-hmm. not even really flushing toilets or toilet paper. And so it's like the things that we take advantage of, and yeah. a lot of people, even living a normal life wherever they are, don't have access to those things either. So there's a lot we take for granted here. Definitely. So I feel like that helps too with the perspective mm-hmm. and the gratitude is actually, for some reason, when you have less, you appreciate the things you do have more. Mm-hmm. And whenever the more we have, we end up just mm-hmm. feeling scarcity and like we don't have enough, or it's interesting how that works. I've seen it in myself. The times where I'm lacking, I actually have a more positive attitude than other definitely. Times. It's interesting.
Absolutely. So. That's so true.
Have you felt that at all?
Well, your I do mindset? Feel yes. And I also do feel like when you live in a small space, you only have room for the small items, right? Yeah. You know, so it's like the things you own, you love. Like they bring you so mm-hmm. much joy. You don't have room for the kind of stuff that you're like, I kind of like them. No, you got to get rid of that. Like, get it out of your life. Like, it's not serving you.
Yeah.
Even if you do live in a big apartment, like, why are you holding on to the things that don't bring you joy?
Yeah.
You know?
Marie Kondo. Shout out Marie Kondo.
Yes, for real. I'm like, queen. Finding this is a lifestyle. Yeah. You know? And people know about it, which is cool.
Yeah, it's cool. The whole minimalism movement. Yeah. And now I saw she has like a Netflix show now. Yep. Marie Kondo does. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen it.
It's
but
really hilarious, actually. I love watching her like do her work. And she's so like,
yeah.
She's so peaceful. You can tell, like, oh, this girl, like,
yeah,
she knows what's up.
It's, we have like a hoarding issue mm-hmm. in general as a mm-hmm. culture, because it, and I think at the root of it, it's looking for joy and external things, or like having all of this stuff that you think you need, but it creates attachment because we're not looking at within ourselves to mm-hmm. give us what we're looking for. And mm-hmm. so we're like, if I just have this, or I need this thing. Even sometimes with eating, mm-hmm. I found that where I want, when I crave something, it's,
and you're
more
eating
emotional.
Something else, and
yeah, it's like more of an emotional thing than it is.
Yeah,
like, am I hungry? Do I want that because I'm hungry, or do I want that because I'm feeling this mm-hmm. thing? Yeah. You know, and this, we're always looking outward, like, what can I,
yeah,
sensory, like, or this, totally. You know, to totally. Satisfy what, so we need true. To just look within ourselves and deal with.
Gosh, I know.
So
one thing that Tarzan deals with, because he's been investing in like a lot of like drone cameras and toys and stuff like that, because he just loves like flying. Anything that has to do with air, he loves. Uh-huh. But he gets to this mode where he has like, I have so many things now, and it's just starting to stress me out.
Yeah.
Like losing them or them getting stolen. It's like all this time and investment that he's gone into. So he's mm-hmm. like working on getting rid of more stuff now, because it just feels lighter. It feels better. It doesn't feel like you're so attached to your things.
Mm-hmm. All that fear around it.
Yeah.
So speaking of Tarzan, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So what is it like living in such close quarters with your partner?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
People kind of joke, they're like, I can never do that with my partner. But yeah. I think you'd be surprised if you actually tried it. It's an amazing way to just deepen your relationship on all levels, on communication, on getting on the same page. You know, you're constantly deciding where you're going to travel next, and you're going here, and just like really good communication. And and when you do have fights, you can't just walk away. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're on the train together. Like, you gotta stay on it. Like, you can't just hop out and leave and fly away, you know. So you really work through the stuff that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Or gradually harder, or what was kind
that's
of the
a good question? Gradually easier, I think that's the answer overall. Mm-hmm. But then there would be times where I'm just like having a meltdown. It's mm-hmm. like hot and I can't sleep and there's not a bathroom and I'm like, I don't know anymore. We're like, ooh. Yeah, there's been some times for
so
sure.
So the times that it's been harder to you, is that usually just because of the difficulty of the actual experience of living on the road just getting to you, and then it's like that just adds to having another person around, adds to that, or
exactly.
what's
yeah and then you want your space and then you can't have space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you just want space, but then you have to like talk about it and drive somewhere and do this and get yourself set up for it. And it's like, mm-hmm. you really have to plan out when you're going to shower, when you're going to poop, when you're going to go to the bathroom, like yeah. when you're going to exercise, like all the, especially when it's cold outside too, mm-hmm. like the weather's not permitting. In California, it's usually really nice, but when we're traveling all around the states, it'd be like cold weather, man, our patience level went like, and we would yes. just like,
so. How did you stay warm in the colder places? In the van.
We didn't really.
Just froze.
Snuggled. We had a heated blanket. Yep, snuggles. And then we would go to like rock climbing gyms or yoga studios and just get out of the space so we could move and be in our bodies and mm-hmm. get warm.
Dang.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips that you would give to somebody who is looking to live in a van or a small space with their partner or who is currently and is struggling?
I would say test it out first. Don't just like go all in like I did. Don't follow my advice or my path. You know, try to rent a van, like looking for a rental service to rent some sort of home living van, and just try it out for 2 weeks. Go off into nature or sleep in LA. Just even see what it's like to sleep in a city in a van, because it's way different from being out in nature. And you got to think about that. You're not going to just be out in by Hot Spring in the mountains all the time. Like, you got to come into the city and do your things and have laundry days and, you know, just think about it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I will say that van life isn't for everyone. So just because you do it for a week and you hated it doesn't mean you can't live a minimalist lifestyle or live an alternative lifestyle. It's just that didn't work for you.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Definitely. As far as the aspect about it of traveling and not being in the same, because I feel like there's van life and then there's travel issues, because mm-hmm. you can live in a van and be more in one place mm-hmm. and versus like being on the road and living in a van. So what do you think was versus, because you lived in a van just kind of around
in LA
for a while. Was there any difficulties that arose about it, extra difficulties just not being in one place more so than being more put in the same place?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, you have your creature comforts. You have like your favorite store or whatever it may be, or you're going to your friend's house. That was really hard on the road, not mm-hmm. having our friends around.
Yeah.
And we would be awesome people, but then it's like we spend 2 days with them and then we're like, okay, see ya maybe in a few years, hopefully. You know, it's like you don't know when you're going to see them again. So that was hard because I didn't feel like I could really build the relationships. And when you're on the road living in a small space with your partner, you need those friendships. You need that space and you need that comparison, I guess I'd say. Or you need that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you guys have been together, you said 3 years now?
Yeah, it's coming on 3 years.
Wow. Is there anything that you wish that you knew at the beginning of that time that you've learned about each other now, or things that took you a while to figure out about each other in the relationship that made it easier? Or
that's a hard one.
Something that you've learned about him now that took you a while to get used to, or anything like that?
I mean this sounds silly, but he loves being appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone does to a certain level, but him more so. If like I am doing favors in return for him working on the van, and I'm like cleaning up the car, and like while he's doing his stuff on the engine that I have no idea how to do, it's just really nice to like serve each other back and just be really aware of like how much energy input you're putting into the relationship mm-hmm. for each other.
Yeah. You guys seem like you have such a beautiful, good relationship. Are people on social media always like, oh my gosh, couple goals, how do we be you?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's silly to be viewed by that many people that are like, couple goals, but it's like they just see a picture of us, you know. It's like they don't actually know us at all, so it's kind mm-hmm. of, you know, it's an odd thing where you're like, are we really couple goals? Like, what is couple goals? Like, it's different for everybody. Just because one person acts a certain way doesn't mean that needs to be your life too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love our relationship.
Yeah.
It's the best relationship I've ever had.
Yeah.
By far.
Mm, that's so good. I think a lot of times people see, especially on Instagram and social media and stuff, we look at certain couples and we think, oh, they probably never fight or they never have these issues come up. And there's a lot of just narratives about love in general that mm-hmm. we hear all the time that paint something that's an unrealistic expectation. I always had a lot of fear about fighting or just mm-hmm. conflict in general mm-hmm. in relationships, but I've kind of learned that having conflict is healthy and good sometimes if you know how to deal with it in a mm-hmm. loving way and you have the tools to talk through stuff as it comes up and not mm-hmm. just be afraid, oh no, we're fighting, it's like going mm-hmm. down, the ship is like evacuate,
or just changing yourself so that you don't have the conflict, and then it just builds and builds and builds until it erupts, and then that's not good either. Mm-hmm.
So. And looking at yourself, because we always want to make it about the other person, well, you did this to me, and you know, because somebody, a partnership, Stefan and I were just talking about this the other day, about how a partnership is you're choosing to be with a mirror, somebody pointing back at you, showing you all the stuff about yourself. Mm-hmm. And it really, I think if you're working on yourself more and you're just a person that understands that, you're going to have an easier time in a relationship than if you're not willing to look at your own stuff. And then you're with this person that
and then you're taking it out on them because you're angry because you don't even know why. I was going to say, acro yoga has been an amazing way to build your relationship because you're constantly communicating. Like I was going to say, the blaming thing. Yeah. When something goes wrong in an acro pose, at first you want to be like, you did that wrong, and your foot, that hurt me. And it's like, now I've really stepped back and taken a stance to be like, I didn't move my elbow the right way, or I could have done that better. And then it's like we both analyze what we could have done better first before we start giving suggestions to the other person. And that has like been a game changer, and then it translates to the way we communicate in conflict too. You know, it's like, I could have served you better there, or I could have been, you know, a little more sensitive to that there. And it's just more calm conflict than like blaming and yelling. And we have this game that I want to share. I think everyone should play this game. We call it we don't actually have a name of the game yet, but we're not allowed to say the words never, always, or every time. And especially when we're in arguments. So if we're saying like, you never do the dishes, and if one person catches the other person saying any of those three words, then they owe the other person lunch or breakfast or dinner. Or a meal, basically.
Wow. And you do this all the time.
We do this all the time. So we like catch each other. We're like, oh, you just said always. And it's kind of funny because when we're having a conflict and we catch someone say that like, you always, we're like, oh, you owe me dinner. You know, like,
it diffuses the argument. Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm exaggerating. I'm being a little ridiculous.
Because you realize you're caught up in this thing.
Dang. So anyway, I think everyone should play that. Always, never, and every time.
Never, every time.
If you catch yourself or your partner saying those words, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I owe you dinner. Or like, oh, you owe me dinner. Oh,
that's so good. We should start doing
And then
that.
It's like you get to take each other on a date, you know, and you get to spend. Yeah. That's a punishment.
It's like not that bad of a punishment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you talked about a little bit about acro. What other things did you do to stay healthy and stay active when you're constantly moving and you don't have access to your usual things?
Yeah, it's really hard. I'll say, like, I don't have the perfect formula to that. I just say, you know, when you're just feeling in a slump and you're like, oh, I just don't want to do anything, especially when you feel like that, go take a class, just sign yourself up for the class and like have that obligation to go to it. That helps a lot. And then I always feel better after. I just said always, but I actually always feel better.
Gotta call them up, tell them.
I actually do always feel better after working out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never like, oh, that sucked. Yeah. I wish I didn't go to that yoga class. So that would be my suggestion, is if you're feeling that way.
Well, whatever you're doing worked, because when I saw you when you first came back at the acro jam, I was like, Dana got ripped she was gone. Yes.
Oh, sweet.
I told Jay, I was with Jade and Stefano. I was like, look at, like, she's like jacked. I was watching you guys play at the jam, and I was like, dang, whatever you did worked.
Oh,
so,
that's so sweet.
Good job.
Well, thank you.
You definitely stayed in shape. What about food?
Food. We eat so good. I mean, we don't follow any sort of diet. We follow the soul food diet, we call it. Like, if we want mac and cheese one night, then we're gonna make mac and cheese.
Yeah.
But most of the time, soul food to us means like we prepared the food with like lots of love and like intention, and we're like happy to be eating, and we're like grateful for the food, and we eat pretty like pretty minimal, simple. I mean, meat is very minimal in our diets. We eat a lot of eggs, and we eat dairy occasionally. Lots of vegetables, like farmers market when we can. And just, we love cooking. It's like a big, big joy and fun part of our relationship is cooking together.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, but we do eat pretty, pretty healthy.
Yeah. Do you, have you always eaten that way, or was there, what changed that in your life?
I think when I realized that the food was making me feel sluggish and low energy and angry and constipated, whatever it may be, like that's affecting your body with the food you're putting into it, I just sort of realized like I just want to feel amazing all the time. And seeing a salad versus like, you know, fries or whatever it may be that's like not your unhealthy food to you. How do you feel after you eat that unhealthy meal? And how do you feel when you eat like a beautiful salad that you've prepared with like love and intention and and whatever it may be?
Yeah. The intention matters.
It does. Yeah.
It really does.
And then you have more energy to spend time working on your creative projects or like giving good energy to the people around you. And it's just, it's all more uplifting no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah. I found that a lot of times I feel the reason I eat something bad is not as much that I want it, but because I'm in a hurry and how fast we blow through eating. And when you sit down and you put time into it and you eat it slowly and you really enjoy it and just don't multitask, you're just, okay, now it's time to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like humans probably used to do that a lot more than we do now, but our culture has just gotten so like fast food and eat while I'm working or whatever, and I still struggle with that a lot.
Yeah,
but I've been trying to prioritize leaving myself time to stop and eat.
Definitely.
It I completely won't get hungry if I'm focused. And just the whole day will go by and I'm like,
just zone in and
I didn't
forget.
Even get hungry.
And then you get hangry and then you're like,
why am I so angry? Oh, I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah. I was going to say, I do that with tea now, too. Like, whenever I'm drinking tea, I use it with both hands. Instead of, like, having a tea and being on my phone. And, you know, it's like, no, just be with your thing that you're consuming. You're putting it into your body. Like, it should be very important to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of phones, that just made me think of something that would be interesting to talk about with you. Because you, a lot of what you do is based on
social
a social media platform.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that without going crazy? How do you manage that with your life? What role does it play to you?
Yeah, has that shifted at all? It's a love-hate all. I mean, 100%. Like some days I'm like, Instagram, I love this platform. I've met so many beautiful souls on this and it's so inspiring. And then other days I get a troll that sends me the rudest message that you'll ever read in your whole life. And you're just like crying and you're like, what is this expecting? So anyway, learning to just let those things roll off your shoulder and just being like, what people say about me doesn't affect me. I know who I am just because they have, and that's their energy and that's affecting them really. Like that's a reflection of who they are. And it's important to remember that.
Yeah.
Not let it get to you.
Yeah.
And then really limit your phone time. If you find yourself just like scrolling endlessly to avoid what you want to do, just shut your phone off. Just turn it off. Like you don't need it. And I find myself like still clicking my phone and I'm like, "Oh, it's off. Oh yeah, I turned it off." You know, it's like it's a reminder to be like, "Oh yeah, get off your phone."
Just that habit.
It happens to everyone.
I think sometimes I found myself that I have this excuse of, oh, I need to be doing this because of my business or my brand or whatever. But there is a difference between the mindless scrolling and all the negative aspects of it. You don't really have to do that part in order to, you know, do the part of it that's good. It's hard to differentiate and separate that out. But I've had to do like take some self-discipline measures to use it in a way that's beneficial and the good parts of it without the bad parts.
I do find myself when I'm more engaged on Instagram, like right after I've written a heartfelt caption and I'm, you know, spent time and energy editing this photo and I post it online, that's when I sort of allow myself to scroll through and see what other people are too, because I find my energy is just so much more positive, and I'm like commenting and loving other people's lives and interactions with them, and it's just, it feels like, it feels more uplifting versus like when I just get on because I just woke up and I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, that's good. I hadn't thought about it that way, but the reason of why am I opening this up right now? What am I looking for? What am I trying to gain out of this is a good way to differentiate it, because there's a lot of times for me, I think when I'm trying to distract myself or avoid something else that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm like, oh, I'll just look, and it feels like you're doing something, yeah, but you're not really doing anything.
It's like a TV show.
Yeah. It's like, it's a weird big part of our culture and our lives that has some serious effects on us. Definitely. So it's worth figuring out how to be healthy in that way.
Yeah. You know, it's really nice within our relationship between Tarzan and I, if we really call each other out a lot. Mm-hmm. Like if we're having a conversation and then I'm more notorious than he is for just being like, and it's like, that is so rude. And it's like, it's really helpful to have somebody call you out and be like, he just stops talking. He just stops the conversation. And I'm like, he's like, I'm not talking to you while you're on your phone.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, oh, shit.
You're right. I'm so guilty of that. We had a thing about that recently, too. Yeah. And it feels gross. You're like, oh, I did that. Oh, it's so gross. Yeah. Why did I do that?
So now I just start leaving my phone in the car when I go and hang out with friends or anything. I just leave it in the car. But I find my friends get on you know, whenever you're in a room with a bunch of people and everyone's on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have your phone in that situation, you just sort of sit back and you're kind of like,
whoa, it's deep. Really weird. It's a deep
problem. And then I make comments about it, and then people are like, oh, yeah, yeah, why am I on that?
We're like zombies. We don't even know we're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's so unconscious. It's crazy. Weird. People just, and then especially if everybody else is doing it, no one notices.
Mm-hmm.
So weird and sad. Well, I remember when phones became more of a thing and smartphones became more of a thing, and there was all those movies coming out of like, this is what's gonna happen, and you're like, oh, that's silly,
and now it's happening.
Literally our existence right now. Oh, it's gosh. Crazy.
Yeah,
well, we should wrap it up, but I want to ask you before we go if you have anything that upcoming or that we should be looking out for. If people listening want to hear more about what you're up to or what you're doing, where can they find you, what do you have going on?
If you have any more questions about van life, I'm always happy to answer any little knickknack things. You can find me on Acrosprout, at Acrosprout on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we have acro tutorials, video tutorials coming out very soon, which is going to be amazing. So again, you can find those on our page. We have a mailing list link there. Uh-huh. And then we also have a Bali couples retreat coming up in May.
Yes.
And so it's going to be 7 days of just like blissful acro yoga classes and intention activities with your partner. It's going to be really beautiful. So
that's cool. Are you guys doing those more regularly, those retreats?
We'd like to. We don't have anything scheduled after this. We won't really want to focus a lot of our intention on just this retreat here. So it's going to be awesome.
That's so cool.
So if you're a couple, doesn't matter, you know, sex or whatever, like you're welcome. So cool. We just want like lovers, basically.
Yay.
We're focusing on that.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, this is so fun. I'm so happy to have had you here. So
uplifting. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. This podcast is brand new, so if you have any suggestions for people you want to hear me interview or concepts that you want to hear me talk about, let me know on social media. I'm really excited about this podcast, and I would love to know where you would like to see it go. But while I build it up, if you're hungry for more Metamoon, you can check out my YouTube channel for poetry and inspirational videos, and have a beautiful day. Remember that you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you.